Blog Talk Radio.
Got it.
Sorry, can you hear that? Can you hear my TV in the background? Can anybody hear TV in the background on me?
Mm-mm.
Okay, good. Thanks. Half a block.
I'm turning this off when we see live, correct?
Yeah, that's the cue. That is the cue to let her know. That we're live, yes. Uh-oh.
Cindy, I'm happy you're here. Really am.
Okay. Doretha, if you're on, you have to make Laverne open the microphone, please.
Good morning.
You have joined the meeting as an attendee and will be muted throughout the meeting.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Think and Grow Rich Mastermind. And today we're talking about the mystery of sex transmutation. And we are live broadcasting everywhere, and you can also have a watch party, so go ahead and do that and share it with your friends, because this is going to be an exciting show, as always. But you know, when we talk about a subject like this, it can go anywhere. So to get started, I am not alone, and you know that. I have my wonderful co-hosts, and I'd like to introduce them to you today. Starting with sunshine, Miss Pagim. Good morning, Pagim.
Good morning. I mean, really, good morning. What a blessing for us to be awake, alive, to be able to be here and to talk about sex transmutation. I mean, can we get more orgasmic about our discussion and our talk? And for those of you that just went into a space, you don't even know what I'm talking about yet, because we're going to have some fun with this sex transmutation. My name is Pagim. I run Power Women Worldwide, where women are bold, brave, seen, heard, and paid well. But today I'm with my co-host. This is my mastermind. This is a place where I have to show up to be bold, brave, seen, heard, and paid well, too. So happy to be here. Ursula, can I get Ann McNeil in on this? Cause
Listen, I'm having fun just watching and listening to you this morning. But anyway, good morning, everyone. Ann McNeil, the master wealth builder, helping you to build a stronger and wealthier life in every area of your life. And I do that by focusing on the success principles espoused in this book. So I'm very excited to talk about this subject, one of my least favorites. Back to you.
Yeah, right. So, Peter, good morning.
Good morning, Ursula. I don't know how to start with that there. I can't say that sex transmutation is my least favorite, but good morning to everyone who is watching. My name is Dr. Peter James. I am the high performance coach, helping you to shift your mindset. Ursula, I'm so excited to be here with everyone today. So excited for our distinguished guest. It's so excited to have our co-host, Tegeen. Good to see you as well. Topic today, wow, I don't even know where to start, Ursula, so I'm glad you're going to start for us.
Okay, and I am Ursula Oderman, I'm the lead host for today, but you know, it's going to be interesting, and Peter, being the lone male person today, can you handle it? We have another co-host that's not here this morning, and we'd like to send best wishes to him. This is what teamwork is. We make the dream work, because whenever one of us has to go take care of life, they're allowed to do that. They may come back and tell us the stories about what that was all about, and they share it with you. So, again, I am Ursula Odom, and I am the CEO of Sula 2, and I make old, new, and everything that we do, in that we capture, preserve, and present legacy information in any form possible, from books to legacy walls, live performances. We love transforming all of your hard work into any one of those forms. Okay? And today we have Ms. Kendi Ward, and before I, in fact, I will tell you who she is, because she's amazing. Okay. Kendi is an author and speaker. And she first garnered her recognition as a winner of BET's First Time Writers Competition when her short story, The Perfect Story, was published in the BET Books anthology, All That and Then Some. Later, her first nonfiction work was published in the inspirational and empowering compilation, No Glory Without a Story. And in 2012, she took her writing career to another level when she authored her first self-published work, God Esteem, Seeing the God in You. Her first full-length work of fiction, O Romeo, Romeo, the first book in the Knight in the Damaged Armor series. It was released in October 2015, and her newest title, Only One Night, the second book in the Knight in Damaged Armor series, and it's now available on Amazon. Now, you're going to hear more about her extraordinary life as she begins to share it with you. But before we engage with Kendi, we're going to talk about what is it that we're talking about today. It is the chapter that we all fear and love. Chapter 10, The Mystery of Sex Transmutation. And it says, for those of you that are wondering, the meaning of the word transmute is, in simple language, the changing or transforming of one element or form of energy into another. The emotion of self brings into being a state of mind. Because of ignorance on the subject, this state of mind is generally associated only with the physical side of human nature. And because of the improper influences to which most people have been subjected in acquiring their knowledge about sex, this emphasis only on the purely physical
aspects of sex has created strong and often destructive biases in most people's minds. The emotion of sex has back of it the possibility of three constructive possibilities. They are potentials. They are the perpetuation of the human race. Number two, the maintenance of sound physical and emotional health. And number three, the transformation of mediocrity into genius through transmutation. And that's the one that we're going to talk about. So to put it all in perspective, before we begin the discussion with Kendi, we're going to find out what are the other steps. So, Pagim, tell us, how does this all fit into the grand scheme of things?
Well, there are 13 principles, and my job is to share them with you. So the first principle is the principle of desire, the starting point of all achievement. What do you want? What do you want? What gets you going just to think about it? Ooh, ooh. The second is faith, visualization, and belief in the attainment of desire. One is saying I want it, but the other one is I'm going to have it. The third is autosuggestion, the medium for influencing the subconscious mind. You know, you got to hear it over and over and over again because we all get those downtimes. You need to fill your mind to move you from those downtimes to the right up real quick. Autosuggestion is part of what that does for you. Four, specialized knowledge. People love paying for your brains and your knowledge, so you got to know what it's all about. You've got to focus on it. You got to know what the specialized knowledge is that you're producing and that you need to buy because it's a yin and yang experience. Five, ooh, the imagination, the workshop of the mind. Every single day that you're moving ahead, you have to imagine your next steps because that's actually how you get where you want to go. Six, while you're imagining all that, there's also organized planning. You got to know A, B, C, D to get where you want. It can't be A, Z, T, F, and jump all around. There's got to be a process and plan. Seven, decision, the mastery of procrastination. I don't even want to say the word. But this is where you're going and you're saying, done is better than perfect. Move forward. Get up, just do. Eight, persistence, the sustained effort necessary to induce faith, that place where you're by yourself, you're putting your fist up and you say, I'm not stopping now. I'm going to keep on going. I'm going to keep on going. Seven, the power of the mastermind, the driving force. Ooh, like this group here, these people are my mastermind. I meet with them twice a week. We're up early in the morning, and we're talking about what are we going to do, where are we going, and how we move forward. It's the mastermind, not only here, but then my own personal team of people that move me through my next success. It is the mastermind. You can't do it by yourself. I don't care what you think. 10, the mystery of sex transmutation. Ooh, if you do not feel orgasmic about what you're doing, it's hard for you to keep on going. If you don't feel the energy, the place, I mean the gooey, the awesome, the joy, the to get where you want to go, kind of hard to get where you want to go. 11, the subconscious mind, the connecting link. This is where they put everything kind of goes together. And that auto-suggestion we talked about and all those processes influence our subconscious mind that says, when we think we can, we can. When we think we can't, we can. When all those opportunities just show up and Anne says, do you want to be on a show? You know that the subconscious mind is saying yes. And sometimes it says yes before you even know that you're saying yes. You just do it. And McNeil wants us, we say yes. 12, the brain, a broadcasting and receiving station for thought. Wow, this magnificent thing that we have, this brain is really the tower that tells the world who we are, and we receive. Yes, 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 you are. 13, the sixth sense, the door to the temple of wisdom. Oh, can't talk about that. You got to read the book with us. You got to be with us so you can feel that sixth sense. You got to feel it to know it. And those are the 13 steps.
Thank you, Pagin. And we held our breath because we didn't know what you were going to say. But we love every minute of it. So we know where your head is this morning. So I'm curious to know exactly why you've transformed that word and brought it front and center for us. So can't wait to hear you talk about it this morning. But right now, the star of the moment, Ms. Kendi Ward, thank you for agreeing to join us this morning. And with all that you've done, and I know you have some stories to tell, but what we want to hear first is how has this book impacted your life in general, and this chapter specifically, but tell us who you are first in your own words.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for having me as a part of the show this morning. I'm really excited to be here. And I'll start off by saying everybody has been like, about this particular chapter. And when I told my sister was also a guest on the show, Denise Pointier, earlier in this year, I believe. And she was like, tell them no, you don't want to do that chapter. But I decided that I would arise to the challenge and, see where God leads and directs me in talking about this chapter, because guess who created sex? God. And everything he created was what? Good. So a little bit about myself. You already read my bio. You know that I'm an author. I was first published in all the way in 2001. It's a really long time ago. So I was like 2 years old then. I was in college, actually, and I was a winner in the BC First Time Writers Competition. And really, that was an answer to a prayer that I had, because I wanted to know if I was really good at writing, or was it just, something that, my teacher in high school said, hey, you're really good at writing. And was it flattery, or was it really my gift that God wanted me to use? And my relationship with God at the time was not even close. You know how you have, close friends, and then you have, those friends that you see every once in a while, you talk to every once in a while. So that's where God was. He was my once in a while friend at that time. But when I saw the competition, I prayed and I said, God, if this is what you want me to do, I said, I don't have to win. I don't have to win the competition. I can be a runner up and I will know that that's you answering my prayer. And so I submitted in probably in 1999 is when the whole process started. And I wrote the story over the summer at my summer internship. Let's leave that as a secret. I wasn't doing my work. I was writing this story. And so I submitted it, and I got a call in October of that year, October of 1999, and they said that, they received a lot of great applications, submissions. They received a lot of great submissions, and they decided that they couldn't just pick one winner, that they're going to pick four winners, and that they're going to publish an anthology. And I was one of those four winners. So when the Bible says, and also why I reference the Bible a lot, God is a big part of my life. I'm also an ordained minister. When he says he will do exceedingly abundantly more than you can hope, think, or even imagine, it's the truth. Because I just wanted to be a runner-up. I was like, that would be my sign. And he went above and beyond that and said, hey, you're going to be published and you're going to go in this book. So that led me on this writing journey. It's not been easy. I've gotten a lot of rejection letters, but I stand on that truth that, hey, this is supposed to be a part of my journey. It led me to the journey of self-publishing. So I did that, and I'm on that journey. We'll see where that goes. I might go back to traditional publishing, in the future, because it's not easy being self-published as far as promotion and stuff like that. But my introduction to Thinking Grow Rich came at a really young age. When I was a teenager, and a lot of teenagers, most teenagers, 100% of teenagers, are not interested in thinking and growing rich, And so my mom she came in from work one day and she had a photocopy of a couple of pages, and she was like, oh, this is a really interesting story. Just read this. And so I read that. And then I didn't notice at this time, but like every couple of days, she would come with another photocopy and was like, read this. And so that's how she got me to read the entire book, because she knew that if she presented me with the whole book and said, read this, I'd be like, lady, you tripping. I'm not reading that. And so she would just give me little excerpts of the book, you know, a couple of days, a couple of days, a couple of days, until I read the entire book and how it has played in my life as an adult with my introduction to the Mastermind Principle by Anne McNeil, but how it played into my life. And, you know, everything in life is not by happenstance. It's very intentional. So it was intended for me to read that book at, I think I was 15. I was a teenager, 15, let's say 15. And so fast forward, you know, to I'm 23, and I go on a job interview at MCO Construction, and I meet Anne McNeil, and she says, oh, have you read Think and Grow Rich before? Yes, I have read Think and Grow Rich before. I think she thought the answer was going to be no. And but as soon as my answer was yes, she was like, oh, can you start now? Like, now, like right now? Oh, yeah, can you start now? Yes, I can start now. Okay, great, bye. And she left me by myself. And that was in 2003, and it's 2020, and I've been there ever since. So I am grateful, and I am thankful that my mom tricked me into reading that book, because it led me to MCO. It led me to masterminding and masterminding with my family. So that is how the book has impacted me and impacted my life.
Now, it's amazing. We're going to come back to the chapter two, but it's amazing what you just said to me. Because I've heard this story before when Anne McNeil did that in her family, where she had a young person read a page at a time and what have you. So now I'm wondering if there was a grand scheme of things that got y'all together and she could recognize one when she saw one real quick, because she knew that you had been through this. And that's pretty amazing. So tell us about chapter 10.
Chapter 10, okay, so in my own words, and I think it's kind of ironic that, you know, I was assigned, I'm going to say assigned this chapter, did not volunteer for this chapter because I wouldn't by choice, but I think it's interesting that chapter 10, the mystery of sex transmutation would be assigned to me because I vowed celibacy until I got married. So there is no orgasmic sex going on over here. However, with sex transmutation, the way that I interpret it is switching your focus. So switching your focus on that desire of that physical gratification and switching that focus to something else, you know, to take your thoughts or energy and refocus that energy onto something else. So that is what for me, sex transmutation is, because the desire doesn't go away. So I just need to refocus it and realign it to something else constructive. So that's basically what I see and what I take away from what sex transmutation is.
And actually, I think that's a perfect example because as I see it, you know, the whole process is the hunt. You know, we lose our minds when we're looking for somebody or something, or we want to go after somebody or something. And when we're not engaged in that, we're being more productive, because when we're happy with what we've found or decided that we're not going to go into the hunt, then we settle into what we're doing. And you have done that deliberately. And I think that speaks to what the chapter is really all about. So you are the perfect person, in my opinion, to speak to the subject. So now, what do the rest of you think? Peter.
Of course, yes. What do I think? It's an interesting topic. And, Kendi, thank you so much for sharing a little bit of your story and even how you were introduced to Mrs. Anne McNeil as well. That's inspiring. Actually, as I look to hire, that might need to be a question of mine as well.
Yeah.
Have you read Think and Grow Rich? And hopefully all of our participants and people who are watching on Facebook, they have read this phenomenal book, Think and Grow Rich. I'm sure we'll put a link up. We've actually put a link up already. So if you have not ventured into this phenomenal book, please do so. What I'm excited about is this chapter, of course. Now, yeah, I get excited about the word sex, but this chapter really has reframed it for me many moons ago when I have read this. And for those of you who are listening and watching, what I mean by that is in chapter 10, one of the first chapters, it says this sexual sex transmutation, it does mean approaching sex and engaging in sexual conduct from a completely positive, completely constructive, balanced, and appropriate state of awareness. It goes on to say, Napoleon Hill goes on to say, people who are driven by this desire in a positive, constructive sense can channel it to develop a keenness of imagination, of courage, of willpower, of persistence, and creative ability that are all but unknown at other times. So, Kendi, my question to you is, you know, especially as it relates to that imagination, that courage, that willpower, that persistence, and that creative ability, how have you been able to channel this sexual transmutation towards some of those concepts there?
So, on the topic of creative imagination, so I find that during the hours of probably 2 a.m. to 6 a.m., I am most creative. And usually during those hours, some other stuff is going on. But during those hours, I am most creative. And so just focusing my thoughts, my attention on hearing, I think the book talks about, this chapter talks about this a little bit, hearing that voice within. And that hunch, you know, that hunch of that idea and expounding upon it. A lot of times we have hunches, we have, you know, ideas, we have that so small voice, the Holy Spirit that's giving us an inclination into the mind of God, and we pass over it. So when you use creative imagination, and this chapter talks about that, you focus on that hunch and take it a bit further than just, you know, oh, that's an interesting idea. How can I develop that into a 300-page book? So basically that's it.
That creative imagination, that is definitely a part of this also. So again, you know, those of you who are listening and watching, it does not always have to mean the sexual activity, but now how can you channel this into some of these things that Kendi is talking about? I know Pagin knows a lot about sex transmutation and how to channel that. Pagin, can you share some of this and maybe even ask Kendi some different types of questions around this as well?
Well, I have to tell you, Kendi, you are absolutely exuding the power of sex transmutation, even, you know, in this conversation. Because I think that people, well, I know that people hear sex transmutation, they're caught up in the sex part, you know, sex, that physical activity, you know, when you've read Think and Grow Rich long enough and understood it long enough, you have to know how to take the reins of your own body and desires to be able to create an experience for others and an experience for yourself to achieve the success you want. And so you have been exuding two things that I want people to hear, and you'll understand when I talk about orgasmic in a minute because you keep on exuding it. The charismatic is one. It is through sex transmutation that you have this charismatic showing up of being in the, when you were talking, Kendi, when you were talking about the stories, when you were talking about that, we can feel your energy, your charisma. Orgasmic, you know, we keep on attaching the word orgasmic to one experience.
Right.
But the truth of the matter, orgasmic is that pure joy, the pure elevated understanding of bliss, of even looking at an ocean as you're thinking about your goals, right? And you, when you were writing your book and you were in the zone, and so I am sure, Kendi, you were so in the zone that nobody, somebody could tap you on the shoulder and you'd be like, you don't even know that you were in this orgasmic experience of, oh, this character is so beautiful. Is that correct? You know, that this experience.
That is
correct. And look at your face right now. When you say it, we can feel you in that. I want to share from the book. It says, the explanation of the factor of personality known as personal magnetism is nothing more or less than sex energy. Individuals with high sex drives always have a plentiful supply of personal magnetism. Through civilization and understanding, this vital force may be drawn upon and used to great advantage in relationships with other people. The powerful energy communicated to others through the following: the handshake, the tone of voice, posture and carriage of the body, the vibrations of thought, and body adornment. I want to ask you, so you are a writer of characters. Do you infuse in them sex transmutation?
That is a very interesting question, Piggy, and I've not been asked that question before, nor have I analyzed that to see if my characters do have that. I think that they do. One character in particular, in Old Romeo, Romeo, which is the first book in the Knight and Damage Armor series, that character, his name is Romeo, obviously. And I think that in that character, he had to do that sex transmutation. And I think unconsciously, I did infuse that into that character because he was, you know, he was a character that he was an NBA player. So we know the reputation that they have. But he was tired. He was tired of the life that he was living. He was tired of the women. He was tired of, you know, being in disgruntled and unsatisfied and angry. His real character flaw was that he was angry all the time. And so he had to transmutate that, all of that negative energy, to switch, to take himself to a different place mentally and emotionally so that he's not dissatisfied with his life. So in that character, if you ask that question, yes, in that particular character, as you see this character arc from, you know, this person that nobody really liked to becoming, you know, who God intended him to be, that he had to do that in order for him to arc.
All right. Before we go to Ann McNeil, there is a listener that have a question as well. Catherine, and she says, not being tongue-in-cheek, how do you know if you're doing sexual transmutation right, meaning that you are being successful? So, and you can incorporate that in your question, or Kendi, if you'd like to speak to that right now, please do so.
I would not like to speak to that right now because that is one of the reasons that in the past that I felt that chapter was a challenge, you know, because the language in the chapter says, you know, that when you're able to do this successfully, that you've reached a level of genius. And that's really intimidating to read, you know. So for me, when I read that, the litmus test is that, you know, if I'm doing this successfully and I'm a genius, or I'm like, you know, super Bill Gates successful. So for me, that is still the intimidation in, you know, in this. Like, is this something that's really achievable to the level that the book is talking about? So to answer Catherine's question, I don't know how and if I'm doing it successfully on a level that the book is talking about. But on, you know, a smaller scale in my life personally, when I'm able to refocus, you know, the physical desires into channeling my thoughts elsewhere, and if it's a book, you know, that I'm writing, more than likely that's what it's going to be, in characters that I'm creating, and creating a whole entire, really you're creating a whole entire world when you're writing. So that's what I tap into. So I'm sure that did not answer your question, but that was my stab at it.
It was a wonderful stab. Now, the master builder in so many ways, Ann McNeil,
Yes, to go to her question, to respond to the question before I go to Kendi, I'd like to turn to page 193 in the version that we're using. And the author says that genius is developed through the sixth sense, Catherine. And so that is when ideas or concepts flash into your mind through what is popularly called a hunch. They come from one or more of the following four senses, sources: infinite intelligence, the subconscious mind, the mind of other people, and the other person's subconscious mind. But then it goes on to tell us basically that a genius really is the person that is able to, in a very creative way, mix those. And so I would answer the question and say, yes, you know when it is right for you. And right for you, whoever you are, I'm talking to Catherine in responding to the question, but I'm talking to everybody that's listening, because oftentimes we may use somebody else's measuring stick to measure ourselves. And one of the things that I'm learning through this book is that everything starts with a desire. God's desire for us, he gives us the desires of our heart. He doesn't put them there. He gives us the desire once we put them in our own heart. So I'd like to encourage, Catherine, your own journey and everybody who's listening, whatever is right for you in this area that we're discussing, in this transmutation, excuse me, of this creative energy, is right. And I hope that makes sense to everybody, because when we then begin to use other people's level of what success is to them, it's not success for us. And so when we keep going back to what, and Pekin talked about it when she walked through the 13 steps, the first step is desire. So sex transmutation, the energy of that, focusing on your desire. I'm sitting there listening to Kendi's response, talking about when you, well, Kendi's response to McKinney's question about her transmuting her own sexual energy onto the character. And I read the book, Aromi, wonderful book. I would encourage everybody to get it. So, Kendi, if you have it anywhere near, please hold it up so people can see it. And let's make sure you put the ISBN number in the chat. But I was shaking my head, yes, she did. From my reading the book, an excellent question, I believe she did. But I also think we all do it in our own way. How do we do it is different for each of us. I'm wearing red all the time. This is my way of expressing that transmutation. Yes. But when you think about your own, I keep going back to this desire. How do you transmute that? Kitty talked about her time between two, I think, I'm not sure if you said two and six, Kendi, or two and four. And I authored a book, have it, and it's this one. It's called A Daily Date with Myself. And I did this book during a period of time when I was actually going through this chapter and a period of my personal life where I found myself having those pent-up frustrations called sexual transmutation, and learning how to transmute that energy into a time for myself. And I turned it into a date where I actually host a date with my own self every day, and actually doing exactly the same time. And we've never talked about this, Kendi and I, but it's actually doing the same time that Kendi discussed. And what I do during that time, because I think a lot of women who are single, and some even married, that have a need that is not being fulfilled, and I suggest a date with yourself to fulfill that. And personally, what I do during that period of time, and that's what this journal is about, I start with just releasing my mind, my thoughts. This is how I focus on this information in this book, in this particular chapter. And then creatively, I take another page in that journal, and I ask my mind to give me a certain number of opportunities, and then I began to release, if you will, those energies onto the page. But for myself, then I go to what lessons am I learning, even from this material and a lot of things that have transpired the day before. Then I began to give thanks and gratitude to God in writing. And then I thank him for things that he's already given me that I forgot to go back and say thanks for. So, Kendi, I'd like if you would, if you can share any words of encouragement, this is my question to you, to individuals, they can be male or female, in terms of exercises that they can do with the transformation and transmutation of this information from one form to another. And you talked about the writing of the book. Are there any other things that you do, which, you know, we do work together, so I know you're very involved in a lot of different things, but are there any words you can share with our listeners to help them understand, as someone who is celibate, and there are people who are, and there are people who are not by choice. So anything that you'd like to share in that regard, please.
Yes, thank you, Anne. One thing is meditation, and meditation, simply put, is the rehearsal of the same thing over and over again and to reprogram your mind. I personally meditate, the Bible says, meditate on the word day and night. So I meditate on specific, you know, scriptures. I also meditate on promises that God has given me. And also part of my meditation is my daily affirmation. So that definitely refocuses or realigns my thoughts to, you know, the purposes that God has for me. So meditating on the word, meditate on the actual word of God, the Bible, certain Bible verses, also meditating on promises that, you know, God has given me in my heart, and meditating on my affirmation statement. So that helps me to refocus, rechannel my thoughts on what they're supposed to be focused on. Whatever you meditate on, worry is negative meditation. So if I am focused on, oh my God, I am 41. I'm 41. And I'm single and I have a prospect. And if I'm meditating on that, that is what's going to perpetually manifest. So I need to rechannel that and meditate on the word of God, and a scripture that I meditate on, you know, for being single, is that God said it's not good for a man to be alone. So he created for him a helper that was suitable for him. And I am suitable for somebody. So that's one scripture that I meditate on. That it's not good. God does not think that it's good for me to be alone. And he has created a helper. He created me as a helper suitable for somebody. When I worry, one scripture that my mom taught me as a child, because I was always fearful, and it's something that is still a challenge for me, is that God has not given me a spirit of fear. He's given me a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. That's what I focus on, and I meditate on that scripture, promises that God has given me, that I will be a best-selling author. And I meditate on, when, regardless of the rejection, I am a world-famous authoress. You know, that's what I meditate on, and I'm dramatic with it. So that is one thing that you do. You meditate on the positive things to refocus your thoughts, realign your thoughts with the truth, and that helps. So that's what I was going to ask you.
Yeah,
Ursula.
Yes.
Yeah,
I just want to go, if I may, to page 191, because prior to Catherine's question, this was going to be my comment. So if I may, I just want to mention that I read a book called Daily Rituals, and it talked about artists and other creatives. They're famous, famous creative people and what they do on a daily basis. And so when I read this at the top of page 191, it says research has disclosed these two significant facts. The individuals of greatest achievement tend to be those who have highly developed sexual natures and who have learned the art of sex transmutation. Second, generally speaking, those who have accumulated great fortunes and achieved outstanding recognition in literature, art, industry, architecture, and the professions were motivated by the influences of romantic love for another person. And I just mentioned the book, the other book entitled Daily Rituals, because this is an excellent example of when we think about, we see and hear about these, you know, famous people, but to actually read their stories, it covered, I think, maybe 300 or 400 individuals. Maya Angelou was one of them, and she talks about what she did on a daily basis. So I just want to encourage all of our listeners, and thank you, Kendi, for talking about your daily habit and your daily ritual, because, again, oftentimes we don't recognize we all have habits. We all have rituals. But when you think about this information, how do you actually take your energy? That's what artists and creatives have done. They've tapped into a way, they may not call it this, but they've actually tapped into a way to transmute that energy from one form into another. And so I'd like to also talk to first with some people who are listening online and ask them to put in the chat. So also on here on Zoom, put in the chat one way that you transmute that energy into another form. And back to you, Ursula. Thank you.
Okay. I'm glad you said that, because there are two things I want to say to you and Kendi. But while I am having this conversation with you two, Peter, would you go into the chat? There, one from Dr. Mariama, and someone else, the comedian, just put one in that you're going to have to read very carefully and share with us. So when you were talking about or responding to Kathleen, what came to mind was when you said that things needed to be specific to the individual. The statement, "I want to be debt-free," is pretty cut and dry, right? But a homeless person can be debt-free. So I think this book helps you define what, whenever you make that statement about who and what you are and what you want to have, you need to be specific, because your debt-free may be totally different than my debt-free, but we're making the same statement. Now, the other part of that is that when we heard about Kendi, and I'm going there, we heard that Kendi was Ann McNeil's boss. And I want to know who the heck you were if you could be Ann McNeil's boss. So if you know what she's talking about, then you speak to it. And Ann, if she doesn't, now's the time that you tell her.
I think the quote that she says often is that she works for me. And it took me a while to understand. It would bother me when she would say that, because I was like, that's not true. So it would bother me, but my understanding is when she says that she works for me, and she'll say she works for us, meaning MCO, when she goes to work at MCO, at IMA, at NABWIC, at Constructively Speaking, at what I miss, Ann? I got them all?
MCO Consulting.
MCO Consulting. When she goes to work, she is working so that I can get a paycheck, so that every single employee can get a paycheck. Because if she doesn't go to work, nobody gets paid. So when she says she works for us, that's what she means. But when she says she works for me, that's what she means.
Okay.
But Ursula, I have been in a meeting with the two of them, and Anne is the creative. She sees the bigger picture. Kendra's the head mechanic that makes sure all the wheels are running, that the car is gassed up, that everything is functioning well for the long ride. So Anne might be the race car driver, but it goes nowhere without the head mechanic in the. So that's how I see them connected. But I want and she does it really well. I wanted to just jump in really quick, and I know, Peter, you're going to come in, but I think that it's really important when we talk about sex transmutation, we talk about
the habits, that we understand how we use the power of sex transmutation to make an impact and influence the world. And one of those big aspects, so I always have a commitment to myself wherever I'm walking into a place or if I'm participating in a group. How can I take my energy and lift people up so they're in a space of the highest energy to receive what we intend to have? And so it is with clarity and communication and consistency that I will bring that in. So even, and you all know that because you've been with me before we ever go on. Before I ever go in is I have to do whatever, hand movements, whatever it is, to make sure my energy is transmuted so that in this space that I'm in, I can communicate in a way that people can feel through whatever the vehicle is, whether it be through this video or being on stage or being a one-on-one interaction. It's sex transmutation is harnessing within you this passionate propulsion that is within you to achieve what you want to do next. And too often, people can feel this passionate power running through them, and it intimidates them, and it scares them, because they don't, they feel like they're going into an uncharted state, usually because it is similar to sexual emotion, is similar in that you're charismatic, you're feeling, you're oozing with this power. However, you have to know how to harness that. So whether you're a school teacher, whether you're a writer, whether you're a business owner, whether you're an artist, your mastery of taking this power and harnessing it in such a way that you can be in service of others is a critical piece of sexual transmutation, because it comes back to how are we serving the world through this energy. It is the most potent energy that you have within you. And too often I meet people who deny it. What will you think of me if I'm out there? What will you think of me if I show this thing that's coming with it? What will you think of me? And that then will turn it off. But if you truly want success, if you truly want to be in a space where you're influencing people, you must master your sexual transmutation. You must master your sex drive, and it's the emotion of it. It's not the action of sexual physical pleasure. It's the emotion of it that you need to master. I just wanted to clarify that for everybody.
And I am so glad you did, because you were a perfect example of that this morning, because when you first arrived, we got the impression that this is not where you wanted to be, but you turned it on, and just like usual, sunshine walked into the room. So it is a very deliberate thing that you do that we can watch happen. And it reminds me of something that someone used to say to me: change your state and you change your state. And so we watch you change your state. And so that is perfectly, because we know that life dealt you a major blow. And for you to move into sunshine, a place of sunshine, that is very deliberate. And it is an example that it can be done, and this is what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
So,
those are why you need a nap after it. Same. Peter, I jumped in on you. I am so sorry.
No, you're good, Pagina, and thank you so much for bringing a little bit of sunshine into our lives every time we see you. So thank you so much for that as well. Ursula, I want to also make sure that I talk about some of the comments that have been coming in, and then I have a question for Kendi, especially around the annual meeting. So thank you so much for to Johnny Lloyd talking about how to channel this sex transmutation energy into a positive space, converting it and sharing positive mental attitudes. Also, thank you for David Emanuel for his in-depth comment, but also talking about how this transmutation, sex transmutation, can help keep your life force in your body in order to apply it to your projects and to different aspects of your life. And to our esteemed Dr. Mariama Williams, who mentions that, especially with this sex transmutation, you know, utilizing it to even foster a mastermind in order to enhance and achieve our goals and what we would like to achieve. So that's a good segue, Kendi, into this annual meeting that you and I have graced each other's presence with. And I want to find out a little bit about the importance of surrounding yourself with individuals in this type of a setting, this mastermind setting, but also this annual accountability meeting, and maybe give a little bit of insight into what it means to you to come together on an annual basis. I know also for you on a semi-annual basis in order to accomplish your goals and your dreams.
Oh, I started masterminding and started to be a part of a mastermind group at the what word do I want to use? Encouragement of Anne Camille. I wasn't always on board with it, but when I started to see the power in writing those goals down and working towards them, a goal without a plan is nothing more than a wish, and putting that action plan into place and working that plan, and I began to see the things on my goals list manifest. One was to have a family mastermind group. And I had that on there for years, to have a family mastermind group. And I would approach my family, and although they've all read Thinking Grow Rich, they didn't see the value in having a mastermind group. And then finally in 2010, I believe it was, my mom came up with the idea, like it was something that she just popped in her head. I've been saying it for like 7 years at that point. And so, anyways, you asked me about the annual meeting. I have a mastermind group with my family. So it's a family mastermind group. And so the advantage of going to the annual meeting at the beginning of the year, it really sets the tone for that year. And being around like-minded people in a mastermind alliance, it just creates that synergy and that energy and really that encouragement to say, hey, I can do this. I'm going to get this done this year. So we all get together at the beginning of the year in January, which is my favorite month because it's my birthday, but I celebrate my birthday every month anyways. And so we get together and we share our accomplishments from the year before and we discuss our goals for the upcoming year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, and for our lives. And so, you know, just seeing and being able to bounce those things off people and, you know, having that accountability, especially within my mastermind group, to say, hey, this has been on your list for the last 5 years. I don't think you want to do this. You know, and having that accountability, my family, I was mentioning earlier before the show started that we usually have our mid-year meeting during our family vacation. So during the mid-year meeting is when we are at the halfway point. So it's a halfway check-in. You know, where are you? We're 6 months into this year. Where are you with accomplishing these goals, and what do you need to do to, you know, knock them out before the end of the year? So anybody that wants to learn more about masterminding, about the mastermind principles, creating a mastermind group, I would encourage you to attend the annual meeting. And anybody that wants to start a family mastermind group, I think it's vitally important, especially for younger families, just because you have more time to do this with your children and teaching them how to strategically set goals for their lives, whether it is a academic goal, a financial goal, you know, whatever area that, you know, for kids that you can simplify it and help them in. I think the younger we start with our kids, the more successful they will be in life. And my family mastermind, if you don't mastermind in all of the 10 categories, so usually in mastermind is 10 categories. Personally, we mastermind in 10 categories. As a family, we mastermind in 5 categories. One of our financial goals as a family was to buy stock. We had that, I don't know, let's say 3 years I was on it and we didn't do it. But this year we accomplished it. Praise God. One goal that we had civically, we had a goal to civically serve together. And we all live in different parts. At one point, my sister lives in Africa. My brother lives in Arkansas. I live here in Miami. And my parents lived in the Bahamas, so it's like hard for us to get together, but we were finally able to do that and serve our community together. We volunteered at a nursing home that's literally, I can see it right now, it is walking distance from my house. And so we were able to get together and to do that. So just to be able to mastermind together as a family, set those goals as a family, accomplish those goals as a family, and it forces you to spend time together as a family. And anybody that you spend time with together, you will grow closer to. So it's definitely a great benefit. So I encourage you all to check it out and to attend the annual Mastermind Accountability Meeting in January 2021.
Good stuff. Right back to you, Ursula.
All right. Thank you. There is something in the chat that brings us back to the fact that whenever we talk about sexual transmutation, everybody thinks physical. I don't care who you are. At least that runs through your mind. In fact, when the game was talking about orgasm, it's like, okay, so now she's going to explain what she means and how she transformed that word into the actions that are productive in what we do in Think and Grow Rich. So there is someone in the chat that is talking about the physical aspects of what it takes to control your physical body when you're trying to be productive. I mean, the reality is when a man sees a really nice-looking woman in business, some of us get pissed off about it because they start looking at things they're not supposed to be looking at, okay? But what this person is bringing to mind is that there's a way to control that impulse if you're a good person and know that you should be controlling that impulse. And I don't feel comfortable talking about what he talked about, but here's a thought. If you want to be a part of, you know, the chat and all of that, sign up, be a part of, this is a good reason to be a part of the Zoom so you can see what's going on in the chat. But I'm going to offer, if this is appropriate, is that if you want to know what he's talking about, I'll give him the opportunity to share it with you directly if you send us your email. Now, Laverne, you can tell us how to do that, and then we'll do that offline, okay? Because I think it's good information, but I don't feel comfortable talking about it because I'm not prepared to talk about that.
So, I can just read it. I can share it. I have no problem.
Of course you would.
but because I do think that what he's saying is, and so we don't have to go into a lot of detail, but what David, and I appreciate you writing it, David Emmanuel, comedian, is that there is a process that has been designed for thousands of years that have allowed leaders and scribes and the people, when you think about, you know, we all come from a tribal background. There is a process that a person uses his chakras, which if you don't know what chakras are, it's just look them up. We all have them. It's about different energy places down our spine, and that's what yoga works with and knowing. And so what he's sharing is that, you know, and he's writing from the male perspective, but it's also from the female perspective, that it's how you go around. So then in your genitalia, you're feeling those, you transmute those feelings, going to meditation, feeling them going up your spine, understanding that there is a power that's going in. So whether it's a man in his scrotum, whether it's a female in her own genitalia, it's understanding that these are truths that have been God-given, and with us we've also been given the power to transmute those. Now, one of the things that's fascinating about all of this is that most people in leadership, male and female, have these strong tendencies. That's why they're able to move people, large groups of people. But what has happened is learning, and most of the times this often happens as you age, your body's not moving in the same way, so you don't necessarily want to have any more children. So you learn how to move and shift that energy that's still there in a different way. What I and what David is saying is you, the younger you are, the more you have to step back, and Kendi, you did it with your commitment. You learn by through the commitment how to do sex transmutation. You take your commitments of your desire, what you want, and then you use your body as the temple that it is in God's grace to take that energy to do what you were placed on this earth to do. And that's where persistence, that's where understanding imagination. And so what our friend David was sharing was just how you breathe in, breathe out, use your spine energy, your spine fluid to go up, to how, and we know we all have a dear friend who is paraplegic. He can't move, but he uses, it doesn't mean the drive isn't there, and he uses that drive to build a life for he and his family and the world at large by transmuting the desire into influence and impact. So I appreciate you, David, for writing your words of wisdom. I think anybody that is looking to do this, to read the book, and then use yoga, use chakras, use a system, use the desire. This is God's gift. It is a beautiful, sexual energy is a beautiful, powerful, can move mountains. Gandhi used it to change worlds. Mandela used it in his prison where to move a nation. If you've ever met a very, very charismatic leader, they use it. A writer like you, Kendra, you write it, you share it, and we are moved through your characters because of it. So I'm going to demand of my mastermind group, demand that in the future when we're talking about sex transmutation, we don't layer it with the negativity of what sex means, but we honor it as the gift that God has given us of the energy, that we speak about it with the power that it has for us to be elevated to a whole nother level and to ensure that we are living with this incredible blessing and allowing it to be exuded in ways beyond our wildest imagination. This is the magic sauce.
And that apparently was the magic answer, because David is happy with your answer, and so are we. Thank you, Pagin, and thanks for bailing me out. Okay, so as we prepare to wrap it up, because we are enjoying this conversation way too much, I would have my co-host help people understand how to get in touch with you, and if you have any last comments for today. Peter.
Yes. Yeah, folks, my name again is Dr. Peter A. James. I am the high performance coach. You can reach me at Dr. Peter A. James. That's at DrPeterAJames on any social media platform. What a great conversation. Thank you so much for putting a bow on top of it, Pagin. That was very great. Kendi, thank you so much for the insight. Even your story and what you have provided
kind of even allowed us to channel it a little bit and see it from a new light as well. So thank you so much for sharing that with us as well. Pegin, how do we get in touch with you?
P-E-G-I-N-E, post it anywhere, you'll find me. But you'll also go to Power Woman Worldwide, Pegin Power, just write P-E-G-I-N-E, and I'll be there, I'll be there. Just call my name, I'll be there. Hey, Ann.
AnnMcNeil.com is the best way to reach me, and I am honored, really, Kendi, to have the opportunity to share this hour with you, and I know it was a little early on a Saturday, so thank you for sharing with us. And my aha from listening to your story really comes from the value of the family masterminding together and just reminding me of our own family and how we started masterminding before I knew anything about what I was doing, but now we've given it a name. So thank you for the reminders and also for so many of our callers and listeners and people that follow us every single Saturday. We want to thank you, and we want to also encourage you to consider creating a family mastermind group. And I'll also encourage you, if your family members are adults, it's equally as important to have a family mastermind group with your adult children and grandchildren, because, again, that is where and how legacies are built. Thank you. All right, back to you, Ursula.
And Indy, what have you felt, what do you feel about this conversation? What ahas have you gotten? What nice words would you like to share with us? And more importantly, how do we get in touch with you?
This has been an awesome conversation on sex transmutation. I won't be, my aha that I, or my takeaway from this conversation is not to be as intimidated by the subject as I was before. As Ann McNeil pointed out, that you define what success is for you. And it's different for everybody, that I shouldn't measure, you know, my success even by, you know, what Napoleon Hill measures success by in the book, that I define success. So that was my aha from the book, Great Conversation. Thank you, Ursula. Thank you, Peter. Thank you, Anne, and thank you, Pagoon, for answering the challenging questions. Thank you very much for that. And you can reach me at kendiward.com, and on social media, you can reach me at author Kendi Ward. So that's how you can reach me, and I'm looking forward to hearing from some of you soon. Thank you again.
And thank you. This has been a wonderful conversation, and you made it all possible because of the stories that you shared and the way in which you did them. So thank you again. And again, I am Ursula Odom, CEO of Sulitu, and we make old new in everything we do. We like old stories. We like your stories. And that's why we do what we do every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. So come back, join us, because you, as you can see, you can engage with us and be a part of the conversation yourself. So make it happen. Be here next week. Take care.
Goodbye.